This is the Afternoon Brief on High FM with Michael McKenna.
We're looking at the legacy of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which continues to shape our democracy nearly three decades after its work began. And yet the pursuit of justice for apartheid-era crimes remains unfinished. And now two former presidents, Jacob Zuma and Thabo Mbeki, they've taken their fight to the Constitutional Court, seeking to remove retired Justice Sisi Kampepe as chairperson of the inquiry, examining why so many TRC-recommended prosecutions were delayed or never pursued. Now, the case touches on judicial independence, also accountability, and whether South Africans can have confidence in one of the country's most important inquiries. Joining us now to take a closer look at this development, we welcome Eyewitness News reporter Dimakhatso Leshora. Dimakhatso, who has been following the case closely. Dimakhatso, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Afternoon Brief.
Hi, thank you very much.
Great to have you on board.
Glad to be with you.
Great to have you on board, Dimakhatso. Okay, so for listeners who are only hearing about this today, can you explain what this Constitutional Court case is about and why it has ended up before South Africa's highest court?
Well, briefly, it's about the two former presidents, as you've alluded to, former President Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, not wanting to testify before the TRC Cases Commission. This commission has been put in place by President Cyril Ramaphosa on the back of the delays that we've seen in prosecuting some of the TRC-related cases. These would have emanated from the original TRC and were adjudicated or, you know, weighed in on by the TRC Amnesty Commission within the NPA. But ever since that process, there's been so many delays in terms of bringing some of the perpetrators of apartheid era crimes to book. And this is meant to, it's because of pressure from 25 families, essentially, that have taken government to court to force them to do something about these cases.
Okay, so let's look at the application. It isn't really challenging the inquiry itself, but rather the person leading to it. So why do now the former presidents believe Justice Sisi Kampepe should step aside?
It's very odd. So the argument that they're making is that because of her position in the TRC, she was at the time the deputy second in after Bulelani Nuga. She was the deputy national public prosecution boss then. And as a result, she was part of the TRC Amnesty Commission, which was located within the NPA. And they're saying because of that, there is an apprehensible prospect of bias on her part, that she could be biased because of her role. Then they're arguing that, you know, within the TRC, we've seen Mr. Saldana coming through giving testimony. We've seen Mr. Bulelani Nuga himself coming and giving testimony. And they're saying because of her role, then she is a potential witness. Therefore, she's conflicted and should not be hearing these cases, because remember, she was reporting at the time to Bulelani Nuga, and not long ago Bulelani Nuga came and gave evidence. And they're saying because of that, she is biased. She's likely to be biased against the two former presidents. You recall that, you know, there is a lot of pressure for them, especially for Thabo Mbeki, because at the time he was the president. Mm-hmm. And
hi, are you still with us, Dimakhatso? Dimakhatso, are you there? Okay, we seem to have lost Dimakhatso Leshora. If you've just joined us, welcome to the first hour of today's edition of the Afternoon Brief. We're looking at the legacy of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Now, two former presidents, Jacob Zuma and Thabo Mbeki, have taken their fight to the Constitutional Court, seeking to remove retired Justice Sisi Kampepe as chairperson of the inquiry. I understand we have Dimakhatso back on the line. Dimakhatso, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
We apologize. I think we were having a bit of technical issues on our side. Please continue. You were giving us a rundown as to why Zuma and Mbeki have taken this case on.
Yeah, so what we understand is that there was some sort of agreement between the generals and ANC leaders at the time that they would not pursue each other, because the generals were saying, if you're going to pursue charges against our members, we are going to also pursue charges against those of yours who were involved with the Mkhonto we Sizwe. And there was this agreement that was done with her testimony, actually, at the commission being brought, you know, saying these exact things that I'm saying. And therefore, there seems to be, because of this agreement that we don't know about and we're seeking to find more details about what actually happened, that seems like it led to these delays. But then the former president don't want to come and account about their role in these delays. And that's why we find ourselves where we are. So the argument by Darlene Mpofu, who's representing Mr. Zuma, is that Khampepe, when the application was brought to her in January this year to recuse herself, she refused. And they're saying that she heard the application and decided on her own and not the whole panel. You know, the commission is a 3-member panel. Mm-hmm. They're saying it's not the panel that did this. It was her alone. So today, the argument in the Crown Court is about whether this was an interlocutory application or not. And they're saying the judges have been, actually, Darlene Mpofu has been having a tough time this whole morning, fielding the questions of the justices there, because they wanted to understand which legislation denies the chair of a commission to hear an interlocutory application. Now he's denying that this is not an interlocutory application. They've said to him, listen, what basis are you bringing to say that she cannot hear this application? So the nub of the issue at the Crown Court is a section 47(1) of the Superior Court Act, which then says if you're going to take civil action against a judge, you need the consent of the Chief Justice in this instance, because Sister Khampepe was a former justice of the Constitutional Court. They did not do that. So their application at the High Court was fatal because they did not follow procedure, Rule 53, of how a review, the steps they must follow in a review application. And the majority of the bench at the Johannesburg High Court found that they had no jurisdiction to hear the matter because the matter was properly before them, because the Mbeki and Zuma did not follow the process of getting the consent of the Chief Justice prior to bringing the suit against the former justice. So that is the nub of the issue now at the Constitutional Court. But can I tell you, you know, one of the justices has asked Darlene Mpofu several times on what legal basis are they bringing this, or you know, refusing to accept that this was an interlocutory application, and he's unfortunately not been able to explain that. So he's really having a hard time. But it's quite an interesting case, you know, for one to follow, indeed.
Interesting in one sense, but in another sense, as somebody here is asking, you know, what are the broader implications now of this case for judicial independence in South Africa?
I think the problem, let's say, for the families, A, is the delays in terms of getting justice.
Right.
But for justice in South Africa, I think it's great because it contributes to our jurisprudence. Remember, we had an example of Justice Mutata, if you recall, the judge who was drunk, and he was also pursued legally. And there were questions about whether a civil suit can be brought against him because he was a sitting judge. Even in that instance, you had to apply the issue of Section 47. You know, if the Crown Court agrees with Zuma and Mbeki, it means that Khampepe must recuse herself, and as either one of the other panel members can hear the matter or chair the commission. And, you know, the funny thing is that the president who appointed her has also turned out against and said, listen, I did not know that you were involved in the Amnesty Committee. I did not know that you were part of the NPA. This is our president saying, therefore, please recuse yourself. And Khampepe is saying, no, you must give me reasons why I must recuse myself. So it's quite an interesting contribution to our jurisprudence, because then it will give us clarity on what exactly must happen if you as an individual or organization want to sue, and we're talking about civil litigation, you're not criminal matters. Are you able to directly do that? And are you able to sue the judge personally? Or, you know, and one of the arguments that Mpofu was making is that in this capacity as chair of the commission, she is not, you know, performing a judicial function. His argument is that this is a executive function, despite the fact that this is Judicial Commission of Inquiry, which he was asked on, and he's persistent that no, there's nothing that such as the Judicial Commission of Inquiry that exists in our law, and he's saying that this is an executive function. Therefore, she's not acting as a judge. Whether or not she's retired is not important, But this section, he says, protects judges who are acting in their capacity as judges to protect the flow of cases in the courts. So he's been taken to task about that. So very interesting for our jurisprudence indeed.
Dimakatsa, a question coming through from one of our listeners. It reads, does this legal challenge now risk delaying or undermining inquiries into TRC-related prosecutions?
It does. Specifically for this one, there's been lots of delays because the two former presidents right now, for example, after the High Court judgment, which was in March, Thabo Mbeki was issued with summonses to appear before the court, and they ran to court and went to do an urgent application to subpoena that. So he hasn't been. So there's been delays with this commission. And remember, we as the taxpayers are paying the employees in the commission, the secretaries, we are paying the other panel members who are not judges. One of them is an advocate, senior advocate. Therefore, we have to pay them for their time. There's a lot of admin that goes in this commission that we have to foot the bill for because of these delays. As you recall, it's been extended a number of times. I think three or so times that it's been extended because it was meant to be a short-lived inquiry. But now, because of this exercise, and might I add, The former presidents are using taxpayers' money to do this. They're not using their own money. So in many respects, it has the cost implications for us. But obviously, it does set precedents. Depending on the outcome, that will set precedents for other commissions, like the one that's sitting now, the Madlanga Commission. If there were any issues similar to this, this will set jurisprudence, precedents for what needs to happen then, which, obviously has a lot of implications for the taxpayers.
As a matter of interest, what are legal experts, if you've, heard anything on the ground, what are they saying about the likelihood of success for this application?
I've looked at the section. The case was made very succinctly, by one of our leading minds, who's now the acting justice of the Concord, Ngugai Thobi. His argument was that there are rules, and those rules are for a purpose, and they should be followed. Mm-hmm. So recall, this case has not been heard on the merits. So with the High Court judgment, what happened was that the full bench was divided. There was a dissenting judgment, and that judgment looked at the merits of the case, right? So the first one, the majority judgment found that they had no jurisdiction. They will not look at the case. They will not look at the merits of the case at all. And they found that the application was fatal because Zuma did not follow Rule 53, as I've alluded to. But now the dissenting judge found that there is leg, and this is what appellants are using to look into this, because the Concord's argument is that they don't want to be the court of first and last instance because this denies applicants an opportunity to appeal.
Sure.
So it's not clear now, but if I were to say, as a layperson, right, following the case, I don't see how they will succeed. And the line of questioning, Judge Majid actually said, I don't see prima facie evidence of, there's no prima facie case here that you're making, that you don't have to comply with Section 47 and that it does not apply to Judge Sisi Khampepe. And he was not the first person. The second one, there was another second justice, I just forgot her name now, who said there is no prima facie evidence that this section 47 does not apply to Judge Sisi Khampepe as a chair of a commission. So based on those and based on the arguments that have been made from the High Court, I'm not sure how this is going to succeed. As I was saying, that Mr. Dalimpofu was struggling with providing any precedence, legal precedence, that would say to the justices, this is a decision that's been made before. This is a reasonable decision. So it's going to be tough for them to get to there, to get to that point. He's faced really tough questions since 10 o'clock this morning. we went on a break now, he's still on the stand. He's still fielding questions. That tells you how tough a day. He's definitely going to earn his money today, because it's crazy how they don't have any legal reference, because you know how the law works. You must show a case in which similar circumstances applied and the judgment or that you want was achieved, and they have not been able to, you know, and instead they've gone to other issues, and you know, the justice keep correcting him and say, Mr. Mpofu, we want you to talk to us about legal precedents and what is the legal authority to supply to support your review application. And he's not been able to do that thus far. I'm not sure if during break he would have found something else to support his application.
Well, Dimakatso, we will certainly summons you to come and join us on the show again to tell us exactly what's happening between these breaks and the further processes that you are experiencing today. But we do have to leave it there, Dimakatso. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. Eyewitness News reporter Dimakatso Leshora. We've been following the Constitutional Court's decision regarding, Jacob Zuma and Thabo Mbeki wanting to remove retired Justice Sisi Kampempe as chairperson of the inquiry examining why so many TRC recommended prosecutions were delayed or never pursued.